among the blackened ruins.
Damn. How far from the redoubt?
Water's ahead of us, easterly. Step it up, and we should be there in about half to three-quarters of an hour.
They were safely inside the heavy sec doors in 41 minutes. JB spotted the trail, pointing at the dusty floor.
Doc and Michael are back. Boot marks and someone with bare, dirty feet.
Cron section. I just pray we aren't too late.
They headed out at double time, pausing at the airlock doors a short time later.
Blasters ready?
For Doc?
Mildred half smiled, then saw the taut expression on Ryan's face.
You think the old bastard's freaked?
Maybe.
I guess we better go find out then.
They pushed through into the time jump section of the complex. The main clock had multiple displays all around, and they saw one directly in front of them. It was running down and showed 17 minutes and a couple of seconds. There was also a red flashing sign above the next pair of doors. Caution, experiment in progress, do not enter.
He started!
They burst in, all stopping at what they saw in the heart of the Kron unit. Doc sat in one of the capsules, gripping his big Lamar, the railroad tunnel muzzle pointing toward Ryan. Michael stood near a second capsule, and he turned to look at them.
Stop them, Emily! They'll ruin it! Slaughter them!
Ryan's eye was caught by the main control screen at the heart of the rows of desks and consoles. It was showing a number of crimson warning lights and the repeated word, malfunction.
Doc! It's all going wrong! Get out of there!
No! Emily, take them!
Michael began to advance toward the armed group, his hands empty, feet sliding over the smooth floor.
I'm going to do what Doc wants. It's not for me, just for him.
Get out of the way, Michael!
Ryan was almost overwhelmed with the desire to squeeze the trigger on the Sig Sauer and blow the young man out of his path, but he managed to hold back.
No, you have to make me.
I'll chill him.
Ryan waved a warning hand at the armorer. He holstered his own blaster, watching Doc out of the corner of his eye. The master clock was spinning.
The equipment is failing, Michael.
Liar! They are all scientist murderers, dear heart. They intend to stop us returning home safe and snug.
The odds are thousands to one if everything went well. They had hundreds of top men and women working on this blighted project for years. You and Doc are about the only two successes they ever had. You try and jump back to your own times, and you'll both finish up horribly dead.
Ryan looked over at Doc, staring into the barrel of his Lamar.
You got no chance, Doc. No fucking chance.
We still have to try.
Michael, no!
The team came in at Ryan, using the terrifying speed he demonstrated earlier. The whirling feet and clenched fists were only a blur, and Ryan ducked three steps back, knowing that his opponent was the fastest he'd ever seen, knowing that Michael could take him out permanently if he wasn't very, very careful. He watched, seeing that his opponent was building up a rhythm as he spun closer. Ryan took a clumsy half-step in, stumbling and slipping on the floor. Michael's eyes opened wide, and he kicked out at Ryan's shoulder. But Ryan had lifted his right leg with its steel-tipped combat boot, allowing it to take the jarring impact.
Oh!
Michael's bare foot was tough, but it couldn't stand against the steel. He staggered, trying to get his balance, his legs spread. Ryan was on his feet in a second. He kicked Michael in the groin, trying to temper the force so that he didn't kill him. Michael fell backward, unconscious. The clock was showing 12 minutes and 18 seconds.
You've done it for him, Beelzebub! And I'll do it for you before leaving this midnight place forever!
Don't, Theo!
Mildred was at Ryan's side, staring down the old man, ignoring the trembling hand that held the Civil War blaster.
Don't call me that!
Doc, we're your friends. We love you, and we'll do anything to save you a ghastly passing. Get out and talk to us.
Never!
The place is folding up around us. Look!
Mildred gestured to where the sparks were exploding from several of the comp screens, many of them already gone to black. But the clock clicked remorselessly on.
You'll die, Doc!
The hand with the Lama stuck out from under the rim of the Kron pod.
Oh, queen of air and darkness! Yes, darkness! I'm sure it's true, you say, and I will die tomorrow, but you will die today!
Firing from the hip, Mildred had managed to hit the overhead catch, allowing the heavy top of the capsule to drop onto Doc's arm, the impact knocking the Lama from his fingers. He was left lying helplessly inside, weeping.
Best get him out before the clock runs out.
That was one of the best shots I ever saw, Mildred.
Ryan went to help JB release him from the imprisoning capsule.
Yeah, I'm real proud of it. Slamming the door on someone's last best hope.
Michael came around a few minutes later, standing doubled over, his hands pressed in between his thighs, his face as white as parchment.
You don't fight fair, Ryan.
It's not about fighting fair. Not in Deathlands. Learn from that, Michael.
How about the lesson you've taught Doc?
You can't go home anymore.
Ryan watched as Mildred knelt by Doc, her arm around his shoulders, trying to comfort him in his grief.
He'd have died, Michael.
And me too.
Yeah, you too.
Locks into its last 30 seconds, Dad.
Ryan looked, seeing where his son was pointing.
20 seconds. Doc, sit up and take some notice. See what's happening. What would have happened if he tried this time jump?
At least half of the comp screens had aborted, memory banks spilling their blind matrices into the void. At the moment that the main control clock reached zero, there was a jagged flash of light from one of the overhead power conduits. The capsule the Doc had been sitting in vanished in a purple lake of rolling flames. The top began to crack and then melt, and the fire spilled over the side, turning from purple to gold, then down to a dark cherry red, tipped with silver.
That would have been me. And I tried to kill you for wanting to save me. By the three Kennedys, there's no fool like an old fool. I am so sorry, my friends. So deeply sorry.
You wouldn't really have killed Dad, would you, Doc?
I don't know, boy. No. I don't believe that I would, son.
Ryan remembered the blast of lead that missed him by a scant couple of feet when Doc fired the Lamar. And he wondered.
Flames are spreading. Looks like time to get out of here.
One thing. Nobody will ever make Kron jumps from this place again.
They reached the Matrans unit without any problems, and Doc seemed contented to walk with them. The armaglass walls were a rich, deep crimson. Ryan waited by the heavy door to trigger the jump mechanism.
In you go.
Sure, Dad.
Dean skipped in and sat facing the entrance, his knees under his chin, the Browning laid carefully at his side on the floor. Christy sat next to him, her face still pale from using the power. Mildred and JB picked their places around from Dean, keeping close together.
Wonder where old Abe's gotten to. Think he'll find the traitor?
Ryan shook his head.
I figure he's likely dead. But you never know. Can't be certain of anything, can you?
Michael sat next to JB, tucking his robe around his ankles.
I am not looking forward to this at all.
Nobody ever does, kid.
Doc was last to take his place, moving carefully as though his bones had turned to strands of fine crystal.
You get used to it, dear boy. It is a great truth about the human condition that you can get used to absolutely anything, eventually.
You ready?
Ryan joined the others and firmly closed the door, sitting between Doc and Christy. The mist began to appear around the glowing discs in the crimson ceiling.
It looks like a cherry hung with snow.
How's that?
Cherry hung with snow.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
Hung with snow.
The mist was thickening, and Ryan could feel himself losing his hold on reality.
With snow.
Snow.
Deathlands Fury's Pilgrims is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2006, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams, Nanette Savard, Karen Carbone, Kate Torrey, Casey Jones, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry, Chris Rowan, and Johann Detweiler. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Dan Smith, Matt Webb, and Chris Rowan. Script adapted for Graphic Audio by Casey Jones. If you enjoy Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders. Keep listening for exciting previews of other Graphic Audio thrillers.